Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday early access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, it is Tax Tuesday, the 15th day of April. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show, where we fight every day for lower taxes. So just remember that when you put the check in the mail today. We're working for you and trying to get people to wrap their arms around the fact that this government is way, 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 way too big. Kim St. Ange here with me alongside Carl Middleman and Sue Thomas with your traffic. We'll get Ethan in here for another news here before the end of the hour. John Lamping at the bottom of the hour. Jane Duker at the top of the next hour, and then Elliot Davis at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. So we've got a full show for you this morning. We're going to be talking more about lawsuits against the city to try to keep the state from taking over control of the police, because they might be forced to fund them if that happens. That's really the reason. The city of St. Louis, the Board of Aldermen, Megan Green, the president of the Board of Aldermen, is suing the state out of fear that she might be forced to pay for good policing service in the city of St. Louis. That may sound outrageous. It may sound crazy. It is the absolute truth about this lawsuit. And we're going to talk to Jane Duker about it, who, of course, is an attorney and a Democrat also. But she's also somebody who represents the police. And she was really in favor of state control again, as most officers I know were. And now we've got the city trying to stop it with a lawsuit claiming that it violates Megan Green's First Amendment rights, if I've got that correct. Isn't that what she said, Kim? Something like that?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me, but yes.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, Elliot Davis was down there dealing with her yesterday, too, at the Board of Aldermen, where he was hearing she was trying to get him kicked out of the chamber. I don't think that ended up happening, but we'll get to Elliot because, among other things, today is Inauguration Day. And when Elliot was down there yesterday, he got a few minutes with Kara Spencer on her last day as a member of the Board of Aldermen in the city. So that's all happening, I think, around noon today is the inauguration downtown, in case not that a whole lot will change, but at least there are no more fences around City Hall or the park across the street or the old criminal courts building. I haven't seen any tents. Have you driven by there? Are the tents back yet?
I didn't see them yet.
I'm sure somebody will quickly relocate Homeless Central to City
Hall. Tashara Jones will probably give people some cash if they're willing to relocate their tent right outside City Hall.
She handed out a lot of cash. That's absolutely for sure. So we're keeping an eye on those things for you, and we'll get to Ryan Wiggins in here as well before the end of the day. Talk a little bit of tax day stuff. And how your taxes are being spent, at least with the Taxpayers Protection Alliance in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But right now, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
What would you say to people watching right now that are scared, that are fearful of anything? What would you say to them?
Well, I just said I'm stepping way out of my comfort zone. Because this is so not like me. I said up there, I might now get my ears pierced. I've always been afraid.
Which is great. I love it. What would you say to people watching now that are scared?
So that is Gayle King of CBS. And that was really her reaction to going to space in Blue Origin yesterday.
He would go right back to El Salvador, which is his home country, where he belongs. And President Bukele does not want to give him back to the United States, nor do we want him back.
Man, this president of El Salvador is the bomb, isn't he? Did you hear him yesterday? That was Pam Bondi, the attorney general. He says, hey, I can't bring back this Garcia guy because he's a terrorist. How would I sneak a terrorist into the United States?
City leaders threatened a lawsuit when Missouri lawmakers passed legislation to put SLMPD in the hands of that five-member board. And today, they officially went through with it.
Yeah, that was Channel 4's report yesterday on the city. It's following through on its threat to sue over SLMPD state control. How far will that get? We're going to talk it over with Jane at 7:08.
Megan Green is working behind the scenes to bar me from the chamber, an effort that she has been taking to figure out just how they can keep me out of the chamber.
Yeah. I like having Elliot on here. We have him on ever so often. It's probably been over a month since we've had him on, but we're going to get him on again this morning. The thing about Elliot is he's retired from Channel 2 as a reporter. But he's still out reporting every day. he really misses it, but he likes being able to cover what he wants to cover, I think. He covers it on social media, and he's got like 180,000 followers or something like that. So he's still reporting the news. I don't think you could deny that. Long gone are the days when you can't consider yourself a citizen journalist just because you're not employed by a newspaper or a TV or a radio station.
Well, look at what the Trump administration did. This was really the first time that an administration extended press passes to people who weren't just with the typical media outlets that come to mind.
Well, here's the power of what Elliot's doing these days. So he shows up down there and somebody comes up to him. He didn't identify who it was, but he said somebody came up to him and said, Megan Green is circulating the idea of keeping you out of the off the floor of the Board of Aldermen because he did a report on some fundraising or something that was done that supposedly she didn't like, is what he says in his report. Here's a portion of what he said. Now, the situation has resolved itself since Elliot reported this yesterday.
Board President Megan Green is working behind the scenes to bar me from the chamber. I learned that it is an effort that she has been taking to figure out just how they can keep me out of the chamber and let the other reporters in. Here you can see there's a place that's reserved for the media. But apparently, Board President Megan Green did not like the last story that I did on her. That's when she said that one of the aldermen, Valmer, was drunk when he was not.
That
tells you a lot about Megan Green, or really any politician for that matter, who wants to kick you out or stop or cut off your access, I should say, because
right.
they don't like the story that you reported
well,
on.
Well, you know, the Trump administration has done that with the AP. They don't like the way the AP reported on the Gulf of America. So they told him they wouldn't let him in the Oval Office. Now, that's not a decision I agree with. I, of course, get a little bit of humor out of it because it's sort of a poke at the Associated Press. But I think they should give everybody equal access. I've said that all along. Elliot did text me back yesterday to let me know that she had changed her mind and reached out to him and said that she was not going to try to keep him out of the board chamber. And he said he believes that development might have been because she saw his Facebook Live.
Well, of course she did.
I don't know if that's why or not, but we'll get him on here this morning in the 8 o'clock hour and let Elliot explain how that went down and what he thinks was behind it.
100% it's because she saw the Facebook post or because she got pushback from people who watched his Facebook post.
Yeah.
One of the two happened.
Yeah. I think absolutely that's probably what it is. All right. Coming up, we'll talk more about this deportation issue. I don't know if you guys followed this yesterday or not. There was a pretty amazing interaction that took place, I should say, in the Oval Office yesterday when Caitlin Collins of CNN tried to ask about this Garcia guy who got deported to El Salvador. The responses were epic. I'm going to play them for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
We come back.
Can you just also respond to that question? Because, you know, it's asked by CNN, and they always ask it with a slant because they're totally slanted because they don't know what's happening. That's why nobody's watching them. But would you answer that question also?
Yes, gladly. So, as Pam mentioned, there's an illegal alien from El Salvador. So, with respect to you, he's a citizen of El Salvador. So it's very arrogant even for American media to suggest that we would even tell El Salvador how to handle their own citizens as a starting point. As two immigration courts found that he was a member of MS-13. When President Trump declared MS-13 to be a foreign terrorist organization, that meant that he was no longer eligible under federal law, which I'm sure you know, you're very familiar with the INA, that he was no longer eligible for any form of immigration relief in the United States.
Stephen Miller is a national treasure. Can I just say that here in terms of his ability to cut through the nonsense and explain this situation to the mainstream media in this country, which has a really hard time wrapping its brain around what's gone on here with this Garcia guy. They all describe him as a Maryland man, but he's not a Maryland man. He's a resident of El Salvador who came here illegally and has MS-13 gang affiliations. I didn't decide that. Stephen Miller didn't decide that. Donald Trump didn't decide that. A court of law in the United States decided that he was affiliated with MS-13. And on top of that, as Stephen Miller said, that court ordered his deportation. He had a legal order of deportation against him. And I think it's so important for people to understand that. Go to cut four for us, Carl, please.
This individual is a citizen of El Salvador. He was illegally in the United States and was returned to to his country. That's where you deport people, back to their country of origin, except for Venezuela, that wasn't refusing to take people back, or places like that. I can tell you this, Mr. President, no, the foreign policy of the United States is conducted by the President of the United States, not by a court. And no court in the United States has a right to conduct the foreign policy of the United States. It's that simple. End of story.
And that's what the Supreme Court held, by the way.
Yeah, and that is exactly right.
Exactly what Marco said.
That's what the Supreme Court held, that some lower court judge can't dictate the foreign policy of the United States or the immigration policy of the United States. This was interesting. So eventually they asked the question to the president of El Salvador, who was sitting there. And all the liberals are like, well, he flew up here. Why didn't he just bring him back with him? Well, he doesn't have to, because he's the president of a sovereign country, and that guy happens to be his citizen. Listen to this.
Can President Bukele weigh in on this? Do you plan to return him?
Well, I'm supposed to have suggested that I smuggle a terrorist into the United States, right?
It's always
How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or whether I do it? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
Yeah. The left is trying to hang its hat on the fact, well, how did you prove? What was your proof that he was an MS-13 gang member? He was just a Maryland man who got abducted in the middle of the day by those evil members of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I mean, he was snatched right off the street. And again, of course, these are the talking points of the left. Scott Jennings, leave it to Scott Jennings these days on CNN to cut him off at the knees.
The American people want them to be as aggressive as possible and pull all the levers they can pull to solve a crisis that has festered for years. And, you know, that we keep calling this guy Maryland man in the press. Nobody seems to worry about the Maryland mother, Rachel Marin, who was murdered by someone that the previous administration let out of jail.
Yeah. What they don't refer to Rachel Moran, who was murdered, as a Maryland mom, but they refer to this guy as a Maryland man.
Or a dad or a husband. You hear all the different terms
so
used.
So he finagled some American into marrying him and got her pregnant, and that's supposed to protect him from being deported. Mm-hmm. He had a legal order of deportation. Now, was an administrative mistake made because they said, well, you can deport him anywhere, just don't deport him to El Salvador? Yeah, it appears that's what happened. That wasn't some evil intent on anybody's part. He had a legal order of deportation. This is not that difficult to understand.
It's an El Salvador citizen who was sent back to El Salvador, who was in the country illegally, who, according to some people in his long process, which does include an existing deportation order, believes that he has an affiliation with MS-13. As I said, there's no version of this man's life where he comes back. And let me say one more thing. The people that want him brought back need to understand something. If the president of El Salvador releases him, and we do facilitate his return, when he lands in this country, one of two things will happen. He will be arrested, and then he'll either be sent back to El Salvador, where he is now, or some other country that I promise you don't want to go to. He's not going to be allowed to come back and live in this country as though he is a U.S. citizen.
He is literally the definition. Thank you, Scott Jennings, for explaining that. When you're at the water cooler today and some insane liberal tries to argue that ICE is abducting U.S. citizens and sending them off to El Salvador, fake news. That's not what happened here. And if he did happen to come back, he's going to be arrested again and probably shipped off to Venezuela, for all I know. It's crazy talk is what it is. Coming up, we'll get to former Senator John Lamping on the possibility of another merger. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, welcome back. So here we are. It is the 15th of April.
Let's go.
I believe that on the 16th of May is the final day of the session for the legislature this year. So we're right at the one-month mark right now. And if you missed it in terms of what's happened so far in the legislature, we did get state control of the SLMPD. There are some other bills that are probably going to pass between now and then, but the other big one that got signed was this utility bill by the governor that he signed the other day. And I just don't think people fully appreciate what's about to happen to your utility bills. I've got former Senator John Lamping on the phone, as usual, on a Tuesday morning. John, we appreciate having you. How are you?
Hey, Mark and Kim, it's great to be with you here this Easter week.
Yes, it certainly is. You know, I saw the video or the pictures, at least, of the governor signing off on this bill, allowing basically utilities to charge you up front for future building plans. Is that basically what it is?
Yeah, that's right. So what the utility companies, the Ameren, can do now is they can go and start a big project, build a new plant, whatever it is they may be doing, and before any energy is actually created, they can charge us as ratepayers for their cost of construction. And it's extraordinary. That bill was signed, and there was a little bit of video, but it was kind of in dark. The governor didn't do a statewide press conference the way he did with the state control of the police, and that's because this is so typical of Jefferson City. This is the worst bill. This is like a big tax increase on all of us. I mean, up until now, what the utility companies have had to do is, I mean, they have construction projects. What they do is they're publicly traded, so they issue stock or they issue debt, and they finance the project and they build the project, and then when the project is done and comes online, then they recover their cost from the ratepayers. So this is so typical of Jefferson City. Like, there's a lot of happy talk about what may or may not pass, and ideas that the base and right-thinking people might want. But then when this bill is getting passed through, it's all very quiet on a down low. And your show is one of the few shows that has even talked about it. And it's unfortunate. The other thing that's being contemplated between now and the end of the session is the elimination of the capital gains tax, which... the irony with that, and that we may all be for that, but the irony is that the Ameren executives who get paid in Ameren stock, who benefit by this utility bill, would actually have higher capital gains on the stock holdings as a result of this bill. So it's unfortunate that Jefferson City continues to do things like this, and this is a type of legislation that dominates the session without the people really knowing what's going on. And it's really disappointing. And I'm grateful for the fact they only have 4 weeks left in session.
It's funny we're talking about this because we just received a letter in the mail saying Spire is increasing our rates. And of course, they hold those public meetings where you can go chime in and listen to what they're talking about. But it's not like they ultimately are going to hold some sort of a public vote. I feel like they've already, kind of like Ameren, they've already made up their decision. They may have even started the construction on this project. And they're more or less just letting us kind of sound off about it, even though they have every intention of going through with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. The way that the public is really represented against the utility companies is through the Public Service Commission, which is populated by appointments from the governor. It's populated mostly by legislators who are known for making deals with the governor's office, and they're the ones that are supposed to listen to the rate case and to make a decision for our benefit. But it's just not the case. A lot of these this is a full-time job. It's a six-figure job. So most of the people who get appointed to it are very friendly with the utility companies going in. And then, of course, once they come off that Public Service Commission, most of them go work for utility companies and or become lobbyists for utility companies. So the public is really, I was appointed as vice chair of the Commerce Committee, which heard all this legislation, and everyone just assumed that I would be interested in pursuing a career in the Public Service Commission, because that's what politicians do. And I was fortunate enough to be with another state senator, Jason Crowell from Southeast Missouri, and we held 12-hour hearings against Ameren. That people had spoke about this issue in a ballot initiative, and we upheld it. But, you know, it's funny, it took all these years, and I think, you know, one of the Senator Pierpoint from the other side of the state, he spent his whole career trying to get this bill passed. He's got 1 year left in the Senate. And don't be surprised if he's on the Public Service Commission come 2026.
Wow. Yeah, you always have to kind of follow the money. I'm glad that you brought that up. So I've heard this week, and I've invited him on the show because I don't know all of the deals on this, but apparently Ian Mackey has a bill that affects a city-county merger, and State Representative Brad Crist has agreed to come on and talk to me about this a little later this week. It may not happen until Thursday. But what have you heard anything about this new merger bill? Apparently it's got a hearing set, I'm told. It's HJR 27, and the House website says the bill has been referred to the Emerging Issues Committee.
Well, I think you're doing the right thing by trying to flush this out in the public and getting Representative Crist on. We're at that part of the session now where in order for a bill to actually pass this year, it has to long ago been referred to committee and been heard in committee. So really what this is it's kind of a prelude for next session for next year.
Okay.
And since it's a ballot initiative, it wouldn't go on till next year. And the proponents of the initiative would know that the more people know about it in advance, the less likely they are to approve it. So I think what you see happen this time of the year, if you're a bill sponsor and your bill's just getting heard in committee for the first time, then you know that with 4 weeks to go that you're not going to have much of a chance of seeing it across the finish line. So I think it's the good news is that we found it and we have an opportunity to talk about it. Like I said before, I think the one bill that may get past the finish line, other than the abortion amendment, which is, it sounds like that's going to have to take a PQ, I think that this capital gains cut, elimination of capital gains tax, is one that the governor will want to cut taxes in some way, making up for what happened with this Ameren bill, which for working class people, for 50% of the public that doesn't own any stock, the fact that capital gains tax is zero will have pay them no mind when, of course, everyone has a utility bill.
Yes.
But I think that there's a good chance that bill gets across the finish line.
Glad you brought up this whole thing with PQ, because I was asking Mark when we were off the air, I'm like, can you just explain this to me? Because it gets really confusing. We're essentially a lawmaker's filibustering and someone can do PQ, right? Previous question. And then they explain, I guess, why you don't feel like conservatives do this more. Is it because they're worried that if they PQ it, then it basically forces a vote, and then the other side feels like they're kind of giving them the finger more or less? Like, what? Explain this to me, because it doesn't make sense to me. It's so odd.
Okay, so there are 34 state senators, and they have tremendous power. And that they can filibuster, they can stop legislation from going through. It's actually one of the smallest Senates in the country. And so so each senator, like when bad bills pass, when this Ameren bill passed, it could have been stopped. It usually takes about four or five or six senators, because you have to filibuster nonstop all the time. But what the previous question is it's a parliamentary procedure whereby I think it's 18 senators sign a letter that essentially ends the filibuster. So if Mark and I are down in the Senate and we're filibustering the Ameren bill for days and days and days, if more than a majority of the Senate says, this enough of this, we're tired of hearing these guys talk, and we want this bill to pass, and they can sign a previous question, which the reason the Senate is slow to do that is because it reduces the power of each individual senator to filibuster. So they're reluctant to do it, but there are certain issues, like pro-life issues, where as long as there's six or seven or eight Democrats, it's not going to pass unless you move the previous question, is how it's referred to. And then what tradition then would suggest is that if I've been PQ'd and I've had to stop filibustering through this procedure, then I will filibuster everything that comes before the Senate the rest of the season. So like when somebody gets up in the morning to say, we're going to approve the minutes, and I could stand up and say, no, we're going to read the minutes, and then we're going to filibuster the minutes, and we're not going to do anything. So the Senate is slow to use the previous question. And when they do use it, they usually do it right at the end of session when they're not intending to pass any more legislation or even move forward as a body. They typically will PQ, and then they will just adjourn for the session.
Yeah, it gums up the works for sure. John, thank you for the explanation. We appreciate it.
Oh, great being with you, too. Take care.
Yeah, we'll talk to you again soon. John Lamping there, former Missouri senator who understands how all that works. You got it now?
My brain hurts. This is why I'm not in politics. He explained it well. It makes more sense. So you have an actual formal letter that these lawmakers, 18 of them, are signing. It's
the nuclear
so
option.
Convoluted.
It's the nuclear option. And once you use it, the other side rarely cooperates with you after that. In Illinois, they run roughshod over the minority Republican Party over there. In Missouri, we tend not to do that for some odd reason. And I can't really say why. All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News with Ethan. At the top of the hour, Jane Duker is going to join us. She will talk more about this lawsuit the city has filed to try to stop the state from taking over the police. We'll be back.
happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
So it looks like HBO has officially cast its big three for the new Harry Potter series that it's going to do on Max. It looks like Toby Wolff is going to be cast as Harry Potter. Bridget Tenery, I apologize if I butcher these names, is
going to
be
later.
Hermione Granger, and Joshua Pickering is going to be Ron Weasley. They're going to join John Lithgow, Janet McTeer, Papa Estrudo, I don't know how to say his last name, Nick Frost, Luke Thallon, and Paul Whitehouse, who will be playing Dumbledore, McGonagall, Snape, Hagrid, Quirrell, and Filch, respectively.
He plays I have no idea who any of those people are.
Really?
But
me neither.
I like all Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yes. So is J.K. Rowling associated with this, Carl?
Yes.
She must, because she owns it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought Hollywood had excommunicated her because she has conservative beliefs.
Oh, they like money.
They like money. You're right,
so
Sue.
Was the original cast not interested, or they weren't even approached
this
about
is,
it?
No, yeah. This is a whole, they're redoing everything. Deal. They're going to do 7 seasons, 1 season for each
So they ball. Did not want the original cast?
Nope.
No. Completely so it's new. A TV series?
TV yes. series.
Oh.
So each book will be 10 episodes. Instead of a tight 2-hour movie,
yep.
They'll have 10 episodes, which means they'll do all the stuff about the Elf Rebellion and... The Spew.
Oh, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. I'm not
what
a Harry Potter fan.
What is going to be on? What channel?
I do.
It's
on exactly.
Max.
HBO Max.
Such a great
HBO
series.
So we were going to watch the second season of The Last of Us mm-hmm. and then realize we don't have Max anymore.
I don't either.
Hey, Sue, what house would you be in? I know that's a popular question.
Oh, Gryffindor. Come on.
Gryffindor.
Everyone answers Gryffindor, right?
Gryffindor.
Yeah, they're the good guys.
Everybody wants to be.
The hat. Gryffindor. I do know that. That's a cute hat.
So you don't know who these kids are now?
Yeah.
But you will.
Oh,
you will.
Of course
I'm
you will.
Sure.
And
I'm
I think
sure.
Nick Frost as Hagrid is a wonderful
Perfect.
Casting.
Well, J.K. looked at the checking account and thought, I'm not rich enough, so let's do a TV series on it.
What's
That's
another
fantastic.
Few hundred,
I love
hundreds
it.
Of millions of dollars?
And,
Billions of
and
dollars.
Cursed Child, the play, will be at the Fox.
Oh, there you
this
go.
This next season.
Oh, wow.
Forever
21 has filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy. This is the second time in under 6 years, and it's going to close all 350 U.S. locations.
Wow.
It's going to cut about 700 jobs,
wow.
But the thing you need to know is if you have any store credit or gift cards, you have until the end of today to redeem them.
Today?
Mark, go get any sort of
end
new tops
of
you need.
Today.
I've been going there for many years.
I used to love Forever 21, but now it's cheap.
I've
and
never set foot in that store.
It's very cluttered. It's one of those stores where you have to spend time looking through the clothes, but
yeah.
They were
Claire's.
Cheap. So Claire's is like a jewelry
so
store.
So get out today.
Not even clothes. You look for earrings there.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you got it, spend it today. Hmm. And one last thing, Mark, you were talking earlier about Coachella and how people were complaining about it. Well, they were. It was extremely hot. People had to wait in traffic up to 12 hours. And they are saying the food was just outrageously priced. $102 for 2 orders of tacos, nachos, and 2 $17 lemonades.
Wow, that's worse than the ballpark.
Sanders was right.
Yeah, no, Bernie Sanders wasn't right. But he was catering to a crowd that's rich enough to afford that.
Mm-hmm. That's on top
craziness.
Of your $600 you paid to get in.
Yeah, Bernie wants the government to pay that bill for you, no doubt. Jane Duker up next on the city lawsuit against the state.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.